Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ben Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
Hello, here we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3,564. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk.
Montgomery!
And you are the Men's Room. On tap today, the return of Who Sucks Less. We will play Profile This, plus headlines, the Men's Room Shout of the Day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite, TV Time with Ted.
Click, clack, drink a tape drunk.
All right, here we go. Florida man uses finger guns to steal napkins in a Waffle House. Also, he brought his dog. Meanwhile, a Michigan man breaks into home, runs into woods, and then calls cops when he gets lost in a bog. Man arrested after electronic skateboard is clocked at 48 miles per hour. Museum banned from TikTok after posting painting of a woman's flower. And a Texas man drives his caddy into a motel swimming pool. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, as a parent, I can tell you that kids do or say one of two things almost daily. They either do or say something stupidly amazing, or they do or say something amazingly stupid. But you don't need to have kids to know this because you were once a kid yourself. But let's start in Nebraska, where two 14-year-olds and an 11-year-old, they stole a Jeep and led cops on a high-speed chase. They reached speeds up to 110 miles per hour. Oh, and they also had a stolen gun on them. And that's what we call a fine example of amazingly stupid. Then there's the stupidly amazing, like the 6-year-old girl in Egypt. So she completes first grade at the top of her class, take that for what it's worth, but her new school wouldn't let her advance to second grade because she was too young. So what did she do? Did she cry? Nah, she saved her money, hired a lawyer, and successfully sued the Ministry of Education in Egypt. She's a second grader now, bitches. And we have plenty more stories. Everything from the 16-year-old kids that got in a gunfight with a woman selling bulldogs, and yes, that's a real headline, to the 4-year-old boy in New Zealand who called 911. To have the police come to his house to see if his toys were in fact as cool as everyone said. And guess what? The cops showed up and they did confirm that his toys were in fact cool. But today, for better or worse, we want to hear your childhood moment with the answer to this question. What's your go-to story about your childhood?
Be a part of Big Show. Call 206-421-ROCK. You can like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live, and send your emails to themensroom at KISW.com.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
All the controls and away we go. Welcome to season 16, episode number 3,564. What a large and a charged program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat, the exciting return of Who Sucks Less, Steve. I don't know how you do it. You find three stories in the news that are kind of messed up.
Yeah.
And then it's up to us to determine out of the three which one sucks the least. I don't know how you find these crazy stories out there. Most things are positive.
Okay. Certainly when you go to the news, everything's upbeat. People are smart and they're always displaying their best. But Miles, I don't want to share the secrets of how I find a-holes as I go through the news. But today, some of these stories, they've been previous shots of the day. They have been things that we've simply talked about on the show. But to me, they are kind of what you'd call all-time classics. They're very similar to each other in their own way. And I figured, you know, like kind of Hall of Fame, I would let these three compete and see, well, I guess, who sucks the least.
Okay. All right. Who sucks less on the way? Also today, as we head on over to the Odyssey app for the Men's Room Happy Hour, Monday through Friday, we leave these airwaves and go straight onto the Odyssey app for the Men's Room Happy Hour. If you do not have the Odyssey app, you can download that thing. And basically, at 6 o'clock, the channel will turn on. If you search for the Men's Room, it'll say Men's Room Happy Hour. And we go live right after the show. Every Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock, the same rules that apply to the airwaves here do not apply when we are on the Odyssey app. And from what we figured out today, we learned some things. You guys are actually listening to
this.
Yeah, we did.
Finally. We found out.
So we appreciate it. We're like, is anyone even listening to this? And we got some numbers back. So that's nice to know. So today, the exciting return of Man versus Beast. And we have on the word some American slang that other countries have no idea what the hell we're talking about.
Okay, good.
We say it. It just seems normal to us. But anybody else out there who knows the English language, these terms do not apply.
Okay. All right.
Fair enough. So that's coming up with the Men's Room Happy Hour, episode number 57. And today on the question, our question, what is your go-to story about your childhood? And we start with this one as we head to Nebraska. Troopers chase down a stolen Jeep being driven at speeds reaching 110 miles an hour over the weekend. According to the Nebraska State Patrol, when they caught up with it, the patrol said, troopers found an 11-year-old boy at the wheel and two 14-year-old passengers. The chase began after the patrol received a report just before 1 a.m. Saturday that a Jeep Gladiator was stolen in Lincoln and was bound for Omaha on I-80. A trooper soon spotted the Jeep there and tried to stop it. Well, the Jeep stopped briefly, but took off again when the trooper tried to talk to the driver. The chase then resumed, with a handgun being thrown out of the Jeep along the way. Another trooper picked up the gun, which had also been reported stolen. The Jeep's driver then stopped on his own and let troopers approach, this time without fleeing again. That chase lasted about 3 minutes, and no one was hurt. Troopers reported finding a second stolen handgun in the Jeep.
Oh, damn.
All three were taken into custody, with the 14-year-olds charged with suspicion of possession of a stolen firearm and taken to a youth detention center. The driver, the 11-year-old, he was cited on suspicion of theft by unlawful taking of over $5,000, possession of a stolen firearm, flight to avoid arrest, willful reckless driving, and obstruction, per the Omaha World Herald. Which is an interesting name for a newspaper.
Omaha World, yeah, I'm sure. In internationally.
Omaha. People in Hong Kong are probably getting that paper in the morning. You know what I mean? Oh, it's a world paper.
What's going on in Omaha?
Yeah. But because of Nebraska law prohibiting putting anyone 12 or younger in detention, he was turned over to his mom. He went home that night. And basically just went home with his parents.
So remember, kids, if you're going to steal a vehicle with stolen firearms, make sure you're 11 or under.
Mm-hmm.
That way it's just your parents getting mad.
Yeah. Crazy.
I think I'd have rather gone to jail at that age.
And here's a kind of a different story, more of an uplifting story. We take you to Glacier National Park. Believe it or not, this is the first time we brought up Glacier National Park or a national park in general this year when someone has not done something stupid.
That is amazing.
In the park.
It's kind of what they do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A year ago, young Naomi Pascal, she lost her favorite toy teddy while hiking with her family on Hidden Lake Trail in Glacier National Park. Pretty much almost back to Big Fork, and we realized, I think Naomi was the one that realized that Teddy was missing, according to her dad, Ben. Teddy was no average bear, holding deep significance to Naomi, as he was the first gift she received from her new family before being adopted from an Ethiopian orphanage in 2016. Yeah, we have lots of pictures of her getting the bear, and that was definitely her first toy, and so it was really special that she was able to have that until we were able to go and meet her in person. After a big snowstorm, Glacier National Park Ranger Tom Mazeriski stumbled upon Teddy while out on patrol. On our way up, I noticed this little teddy bear, kind of with still snow melting off of it, a little bit off the trail there. Well, despite being weathered from the storm, the ranger decided to hold on to the teddy and placed him on the patrol car dashboard, dignifying Teddy, his vehicle's unofficial mascot. Perfect little spot set upright, looking out the front windshield, he said. Well, for close to a year, Teddy sat proudly front and center on the patrol car dashboard, helping keep a watchful eye, they say, for bears and other wild animals. Fast forward to last week, a family friend of the Pascals happened to be hiking in Glacier National Park and noticed Teddy sitting on a patrol car dashboard. They just happened upon this ranger truck randomly, and her niece saw Teddy in the dashboard. And they texted a picture of Teddy to my wife, Addie, and said, "Is this the bear?" And she's like, "Yeah." Soon after, Ben and Addie broke the news to Naomi that Teddy was coming home. "I felt excited because I didn't know I was ever going to see him again," she said. A few days later, Teddy was express mailed to the family home in Jackson, Wyoming, back in Naomi's loving arms, where she belongs. "You got just a little bit excited, I think, just a little tiny bit excited. She was jumping up and down. She was so excited." Ranger said he was more than happy to keep Teddy company last year. He hopes to meet Naomi in person one day for a Teddy reunion back at Glacier National Park. "But it'd be great just to talk to her and her family and just kind of tell them stories from our travels together from the past year." So that's a positive story. There you go.
Although, I mean, if I'm that guy, if I'm the park ranger, chances are if I find it, it went in the trash. And I know it's horrible. I would not assume that anyone's going to go back to a national park to look for a teddy bear. So, like, if I saw it, it'd be more of a, "Oh, crap, what's that girl's story? Like, oh, I feel so bad. He's covered in spaghetti sitting in the bottom of a trash can."
Well, I just know for a fact that if I talked to my parents and said, what were the more memorable stories from my childhood, that there would be no positive stories. They might have 5 or 10 memorable stories.
Well, none of them would be good.
But none of them are going to be ones that are going to be positive. Or like, "I remember when you came home with straight A's. When you've been studying all that time."
Well, you can't remember things that didn't happen.
Exactly.
Right? So that's impossible.
Right.
I never got straight A's.
Yeah.
I mean, not one time. I think I got like an A in gym or some of just kind of the gimme classes.
Okay.
You know, we had like study hall. Like, yeah, I got an A.
I mean, anything was positive probably involved sports at the time.
Yep.
I can't think of anything else that was, you know what I mean? But that normally takes a team. It wasn't like I was any individual team,
but
mostly team sports for most of my life.
Yeah, I'm with Thrill. There's no, like, huge victories over grades.
Nothing academic. Not when I was growing up, man, you know, my brother's older than me. And like any parent, you gauge most of what you know on raising the first kid because that's the guinea pig, right? So my brother, he goes to school. He did very well in school. And I remember my father just getting up in his ass because he came home with his report card. He had all A's except English class. He had a C. And I remember my father's just, I mean, getting into, "What's the problem, blah, blah, blah." By the time I got to high school, they were like, "Brother, if you get a C, we'll take it to Red Lobster." Like, can you just not get an F?
Yeah.
It was so different. When I got a C, it was celebratory. And they were like, whatever, you got a 72. We don't care. There's no parent-teacher conference we have to go to. You're not being disciplined by anyone. We know he doesn't work well independently, all the comments they made.
Sure.
We know you're a disruption to class, but damn it, our boy got a C.
It was like so they bought
C
me.
C students run the world.
And yeah. Did you have to argue that a D is not the same as an F? I had this conversation multiple times with my father.
Oh, D's pass.
I was like, dude, it's a D. It's not an F. And he's like, yeah, I understand that. I said, so you can't get mad about it. He's like, I can, and I am.
Right.
I literally got a 69. Nice.
Hey.
As a final grade once, so I could graduate high school.
Well, that's passing.
Yeah, so it's like, cool.
That's plenty.
Like, I think technically it was a D or a C minus, but like, who cares? They were just like, are you going to walk tomorrow and get that damn diploma? I was like, yeah. They're like,
here
all right.
Is the true beauty, and most school systems don't do this. I know Baltimore does it all the time. In fact, at this point, I think if you show up at school, you pass. But like, they kept knocking down what it was to graduate.
Yeah.
At first, you had to get like a 70, which was pretty standard. Mm-hmm. And then they realized everyone in the city is an idiot, myself included. And they're like, drop that down to 68. Then they realized that's still too high a bar. So by the time I graduated, if you got a 65, like, good enough.
Right.
We had a. Yeah, I was in the slower track, as they call it. You could get a 68.
We lived
really?
On the.
Yeah. Oh, man. See, I'd have done. Like, kids always want a college prep class. The way I angled everything, if they came to me and said, hey, man, we have college prep, you know, accelerated, blah, 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 like, that's good, thank you. But, Ted, if they come to me and propose yours, or you can take this other side, get a 68, I promise you, I'd have taken the other one.
My primary responsibility at home was being a laborer. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of.
That's
way,
what children are.
That's
unpaid labor.
That's exactly what it
God
was.
Goddamn right.
My stepfather, he bought a used snapper lawnmower, push lawnmower.
Mm-hmm.
We had well over a half an acre, okay? I mean, it was definitely. The people next door, they had the same size lot. And I remember Bill Simler. He had a riding lawnmower. And I was so envious. You know what I mean? Because he could knock that thing out.
While drinking a beer.
Like an hour and a half. You know what I mean? He was shirtless. You know what I mean? Just kind of hanging out, doing his thing. And here I'm sweating, pushing this lawnmower, right? And the idea was, if I got this lawnmower, the other thing my stepfather wanted me to do was he wanted me to go out there and make some money and cut other people's grass and everything like that. You know what I mean? And just, you know, generate some income for myself. So I wouldn't ask him for any money. So I would go out, and I had a couple yards that I did. There was one woman who was, she was widowed. She was probably about a quarter of a mile down the road. She was sweet. She was always nice. She didn't have anybody to cut her grass. She also really didn't have any money. So about once every 2 weeks, which was a pain in the ass because the grass got a little bit too high, I would cut her grass for free.
Now this took, I do hers every week, knowing what you're saying, but the, like,
right.
I'm not putting a lot of labor into the free
this
stuff.
Took, and this is the same lawnmower where I killed those bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
But this took me like...
Wait a minute, you push mowered over those bunnies?
Oh, yeah. Remember I told you I had to lift the front up because the grass is so high?
But you never mentioned you were physically pushing it.
I knew that part.
You must have felt resistance.
I heard kunk, 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 kunk. But I mean, I don't...
Push mowers don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, are you talking about the one with the wheel?
No, I mean, it's still a gas power.
Oh, it's still a gas power.
I thought he had the one.
Like, wait a minute, Montgomery.
Oh, no.
You left out this part.
No.
But you were walking this thing. Sorry.
That blood spraying out of the side.
I really sharpened those blades.
Yeah, I'm like, dang, dude.
This is a push.
I'm starting to think that dog never bit you, and you just kicked it.
Yeah, no. But they would never say it. They would never say, Miles, it was so nice. We remember you would go down and cut her grass. And they would just be like, yeah, we bought that lawnmower. She'd make some money and cut our grass.
Right, that's
never,
perspective.
Thank you for doing the lawn or anything like that. Those aren't the stories. The stories would be like when I get in trouble for like wrecking the car at 1 a.m. or things like that. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know the stories they would tell, and some of them I choose not to revisit. I would just say this. One of the biggest times I did get in trouble as a teenager, and they were rightfully very, 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 very angry with me. But I took it like a champ, because one thing they did not know, and they found plenty of evidence of many bad things that had happened, but they never knew I kidnapped someone at that same party. So well, my they are just giving me the riot act the whole time. I'm just thinking... They don't know that I committed a felony. Mm-hmm. I can, you know what I mean? I can live with all this. I know you're mad, but you don't know how mad you should be, and I'm not going to tell you. I don't think I've told them to this day.
I'm sure they know from listening to the program.
Maybe. I mean, like, it's still a sore subject.
I told them last time I saw them.
You know, you're a kidnapper.
I got to talk to you, too.
Yeah.
You thought the party was bad.
Remember when you went out of town?
Yeah, the man tied up in his closet.
Yeah, I never got in too much trouble in high school. Like, I got caught, like, cheating on a test once.
Yeah, whatever.
But, like... I don't know how to explain it. We were always pretty good. I mean, don't get me wrong. We went out. We'd sneak some beers here, you know. But we were pretty good about getting home. Plus, honestly, my sister was 2 years older, and she was such an idiot. Mm-hmm. And got in trouble all the time. Right? Because my brother was kind of like me. Like,
right.
He had fun, but he never really got in trouble. But, yeah, I still think, and I've told the story, the biggest one is that there, I don't remember it because I'm that age, but there's some massive dog in the backyard. Everybody's scared to come out there, and I'm just hugging it.
Yeah, I would be terrified.
I like that they're still scared to go out there. Should you save your son? Yeah.
I don't know.
But that's the story that gets brought up all the time. He's always liked dogs. Dogs have always liked him.
Mine was getting kicked out of vacation Bible school.
Ooh, that's impressive.
That's tough.
Day two in.
Especially with your mom.
It was a 2 week. It was a 2 week vacation Bible school. And day number two, me and my buddy Jeff, we both got kicked out for cussing out the teacher.
Yeah, I mean it.
That was not good.
I got kicked out of school four times, and that was... But the one time I told this particular woman to go F herself, all right? So, I did not include this when I'm explaining this to my parents. But, so now my mother takes me back up to the school to see if they can reinstate me. And the woman who gets to make the final decision about whether I'm booted out of the Baltimore City school system, which I was down with. I'm desperately hoping that'd be the case. My mother felt differently, obviously. So, but as they're going back and forth, the woman, Miss Malachi, that is her name, just like Children of the Corn, she looks at me and says, "Do you want to tell your mom what you told me?" And I'm like, "I don't, but what I told you is go F yourself."
Right.
Well, that did not go over well either, but I'm like, whoa, you can't get mad. She asked me to repeat it. I'm sorry that I said it with the exact same feeling because I still mean it, but yes, I did say that. And that ended up getting me in more trouble than getting booted out of school because they got used to me getting kicked out of school. They were not used to me telling authority figures to go F themselves.
Yeah. Well, I told the woman I didn't want to go to heaven. She's like, "If you have a mouth like that, you're not going to heaven." I'm like, "I don't believe in God. I don't want to go to heaven." You know what I mean? And I'm like, "F this." You know what I mean?
Right.
So I basically just kind of did that thing. Well, here's where this all comes back to haunt me, other than the fact that, God, were they pissed off at me and disappointed. So,
and you're probably not going to heaven.
So, no. Well, we already established that when I was 12 years old and told her. So, so she had, her son, Rob, was about 3 or 4 years older than me.
All right.
He was one of the coolest guys in the neighborhood. And you did not want to, and he was, this guy, he was so upset that I cussed his mother out. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that happens.
But he was also too old to beat my ass. And he was also...
He's on that thin line.
And he was honestly... Yeah, I mean, he was close
enough. He's 16,
enough.
You're 12.
Right. And he was huge. Rob was like 6'5", and he was skinny then because he was a kid, so he was all muscle. You know, he was one of those guys that was just naturally built, and he was a bigger dude. I think he went on to be a Marine. But so time goes by, and now I'm 18, 19 years old, and there's a few bars that you could get into,
right?
At that age. But Rob worked the door at this place called The Dungeon. He and this other guy, Ty, that I knew, all right? Ty would let me in all the time. Now, Rob, when I came up to the... He would just shake his head. He'd be like, "You cussed my mother out." And I was like, "Come on, Rob."
You know, 6 years
I was a kid, man. I was like, that was a long time ago. He was like, "Nope. Cuss my mom out, man. You know I love you, but as soon as you drop the F-bomb on her, man, you gotta go. You gotta go." And I was like, "Come on, man. You're never gonna let me live this down." So this would go on for weeks, because all my friends would go to that bar. He would gladly let everybody else in.
Right.
So he knows they're underage, but they're getting in.
Oh, they're all getting in, just to spite me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just at the day. I come to the line, I'm like, "You going to let me in this time?" He's like, "Nope, absolutely not." You know what I'm like? "Oh, still being punished for this." You know what I mean?
I'll apologize to your mom. Just let me in the bar.
Yeah. She doesn't want to talk to you. What is your go-to story about your childhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Daniel. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
What's up, guys?
How are you, sir?
Good. So, my childhood story that I go to will be the one where I have three friends, you know, one with the boogers coming out of the nose consecutively. Guy that slicked the hair back, and I was the guy that pretty much does anything stupid and crazy. So we're all about 13 years old, and we lived right next to a United Furniture Warehouse, and we lived in a new development house. So while the houses were in development, we had a lot of lumber. We built a sweet-ass treehouse, and we got a treehouse, and we went to a United Furniture Warehouse, and we stumbled across some furniture that was laying in the back, and we thought they were throwing them away. So us three kids, we picked up these furnitures and we throw it over a fence, and then we had a neighborhood Karen with the white van that stopped and said, "Where'd you guys get that couch?" And I was like, mind your business, Karen. And, you know, she was like, well, I'm going to call the law. And I'm like, well, you tell that, you say that, we're going to tell your husband that he touched me. And then,
you went right to that well, huh?
Yeah, she didn't have enough time to roll around the cul-de-sac and come back and catch us where a treehouse was. It was a secret hiding spot, right? So, in the meantime, we kept on going back. Every weekend, we check out United Furniture Warehouse, and we check out the lumber that they leave out for us. And we have the sweetest, luxurious treehouse. We had a roof. We had a fire pit. We had couches, rugs, and then...
And this is all... How big was this tree, dude? I mean, it's...
Oh, man, it was... I would say it would be a good 600 square feet. This was going on for 2 years.
And how many people could you fit in your treehouse? Once you got it all decked out with the rugs, the sofas, the fire pits?
It was no girls allowed because they stink up the place.
That's how we know you were 13 or younger.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Right. But we had two couches there, and these were top of the line. We wouldn't know. So we kept it nice and clean, and we kept all the dirty stuff like the fire pit down below. We could at least fit easily 12 people in there.
Damn.
And yeah, it was sweet. And we used candles for lights because we didn't have a power, obviously. But, you know, we spent a night in there. We, in that forest area, we had paintball throughout the years. It was the best time a child could ever grow up with.
It sounds like it, man.
Let me ask you, whatever happened to the treehouse? Were you able to keep all the furniture, and did it ever get, like, blown down, torn down? What happened with it?
So what happened was... we're about 30 now, and later down the years, we're all moving out at the same time, and when I went back to check it out, they tore down that forest area and put new apartments there.
Damn development.
Yeah. I'm kind of wondering what they said about the new development that we did with that treehouse.
It's amazing that you guys had the ingenuity to be able to construct something that big with a roof, and you know what I mean? It was still a sturdy structure, and I mean, all things considered at that age.
We're sweating. We walked about at least 2.5 football yards and throwing everything over the fence. And, you know, no one really bothered us. We did it. It was all behind buildings, too. So we're well under detected, except that Karen. She didn't. After that threat, we told her, I guess it was serious, that she never came back and bothered to call the law on us, if you know what I mean.
Cool. Well, we had spots we go to, but nothing like that. There was a treehouse that I knew existed, but it was like a 6x4 foot, just basically piece of plywood up in a tree.
It did not have sofas and rugs and candles and fire pits and all the rest of it.
The funnest part was climbing up the tree to get there. You know what I mean?
Right. And then when you're there,
you made a makeshift ladder. You just sit there. And you're just like, okay, well, I'm up here. Now what? What is your go-to story about your childhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget.
Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
99.9 KISW. The men's room is in progress.
Police in New Zealand leapt into action to attend the house of a four-year-old boy. The check of his toys were as cool as he said they were. The clip of the exchange, which was, quote, too cute not to share to Facebook, where the call begins in an unusual fashion with the dispatcher on 911 asking what the nature of the emergency was.
Right.
Police lady, can I tell you something? A boy asks. I've got some toys for you, he tells the operator. You've got some toys for me, she asks. Come over and see them, he adds. Then there's a scuffle. Adult comes on the phone informing the operator there is, in fact, no emergency. Well, after the call, a police dispatch was sent out asking for any officers near the address, stating, there's a four-year-old out there who is wanting to show police their toys. Over. An officer leaves to respond, replying, yeah, I'm one up. I'll attend to it. Constable Kurt, who attended the call, confirmed that the boy did have, in fact, cool toys.
Ah, very good, very good.
Police also treated the child to a tour of the police car and showed him the blue flashing lights. Constable Kurt said he arrived at the child's home and was shown an array of toys. He also has a good educational chat with the child and his parents about only using 911 or 111 there for emergencies. While we don't encourage children to call 111 to show us their toys, this was too cute not to share. Our question, what is your go-to story about your childhood? 206-421-ROCK.
What they don't point out is that Daddy had to hide the meth lab when the cops showed up.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Zach. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So, go-to story about my childhood is from the age of 10 till 17. My age and my shoe size were the exact same.
To 17?
Yeah.
When did your parents start getting worried? Because I hit size 13 around age 12, but my feet stopped growing.
They started worrying when I was probably about 8 or 9, and I looked like I was in middle school next to all the elementary schoolers.
How tall are you compared to other kids at that time?
At least a head above, if not more.
Jesus. Okay.
And did you stop growing, or was that your spurt, or did you continue to grow?
So that was one growth spurt. I'm sitting around 6'8" right now, so...
Damn. How tall is your father?
He is 6', but his side of the family is where I get it. I had a grandpa that was 6'5", uncle that was 6'5", relatives over 7', so...
I always wonder how this works out, because, like, okay, so my dad was 6'3" before his knee operation.
Right.
Now he's about 5'8".
It's like Hank Hill's father.
My uncle's 6'3". My grandfather on my mother's side was 6'3". And, you know, I figured, hey, man, you know what? I'm going to be 6'3". Turns out, not even close. You know what I mean? And then I look at your parents, Steve.
How tall are you?
6'.
Yeah. That's the cutoff line.
Well, what do you mean? I still want to be taller than that. You know what I mean?
I know, but there's just a massive thing between people under 6' and 6' and over.
I wouldn't know, Ted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, ask any woman.
And look at Steve's parents. You know what I mean? I mean, your dad.
Well, my dad's the shortest on his side of the family. So his two brothers are like 6'4 and 6'5".
See, I don't understand how this works.
My mom's side of the family, all the dudes, they're about my brother's height. So my brother, even though he looks like my dad, got my mom's side of the family's height. And I got my father's side of the family.
I don't get this. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, man.
I always felt like, yeah, man, don't worry. I'm going to keep growing. I got a few more inches.
I got the height and the looks. You got the brains and the job. That's how I look at it.
Just never happened. Yeah, right.
I mean, right, I'm 5'9", almost 5'10", and I'm one of the taller Smiths.
How tall is your brother?
He's the same height as me.
Okay.
All right.
I might be a little taller.
I just don't understand how that works. You know, it makes sense to me that his dad would be a large man
if
he is 6'8". That equates to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you're taller, you're taller, whatever. I just never thought that I'd be ripped off like that.
Yeah, you got ripped off.
Yeah.
You didn't even get looks out of it.
But nothing.
How tall is your brother?
He is a little bit taller than me, I think.
Is he?
I think so.
All right.
Just enough to irritate Miles.
Yeah.
Just a whisper above. Like,
but yeah. I'm telling you got the 6 in front of you. You're fine.
Ted's right.
There's plenty of memes about people under men under 6'.
If you are 6' or taller, good enough. And my brother, same thing. He's 5'9 and a half, 5'10.
Right, he's like my height.
And he hates bringing it up. I'm like, dude, you have a great job. It just, it doesn't matter. He
it doesn't, like, hates okay, it. So if you're attracted to taller women, right?
Uh-huh.
You need to be at least 6'3".
Usually.
Because if a woman is, you know, 5'10, 5'11, 6', I mean, let's face it. I've never met a woman that tall who is not exclusively attracted to taller men.
I dated a chick who was 6'1 once, and she did point out, like,
that's what
I like guys that are taller than me.
Right?
So, that, good. I like your vagina. I mean, it's like, whatever, man.
That's fantastic.
I've almost always dated girls that are taller than I am or gone out with. Like, I went out with a girl. We're still friends, but she was 5'11.
5'11. Did she also wear heels?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, she's
what
cool.
are the looks you get? Like, when you go out, because at that point she puts on heels, she's, what, 4 inches taller than you or whatever?
Oh, right? Sure.
So are you getting all the weird looks from dudes?
Oh, no. I would just always have to come back from the bathroom and put my arm around her. Because there'd be people hitting on her.
Yep.
But the other problem, too, when you're under 6', is that you can't say anything.
What do you mean?
Because if you say anything back to anybody, people go, oh, what, are you getting angry, little guy? And it's like,
oh, no.
No, like, you're being rude. I get to call you an a-hole for being an a-hole.
Right.
And Napoleon was normal height for his time.
What's your go-to story about your childhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Based on the conversation, can you guess which one of us is under 6'?
Napoleon was average height, goddammit.
There's just so many
Barry
memes.
Sanders was one of the greatest NFL running backs of all times. Spud Webb dominated in college and pro.
And Peter Dinklage was the greatest character.
Bugsy Moogs had the highest percentage of three-pointers at the time.
Hey, look, I love Russell Wilson.
Yeah, but he's not. Well, how tall is Russell Wilson?
What is he, 5'11"?
Because they keep saying 6', now my homeboy is not 6 feet.
Well, they also say he's one of the shorter quarterbacks, but let's face it doesn't really matter. I mean,
like, Drew Brees was quote-unquote a short quarterback.
And actually, because of that, that was one of Russell Wilson's idols. I truly believe, just based on the fact that it's tough when you can't see over the line. And I mean, even in high school, I mean, the guys on the line were taller than I was. And I'll tell you right now, it's hard unless you have a you know, a window.
But how many quarterbacks can legitimately see? Because, you know, you look when they go to the huddle, like all the linemen. I mean, like, I would be the shortest guy on the line at 6'4". Right. So I'm thinking, like, with the average quarterback,
the center's typically like a 5'9 guy.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, but other than that, everyone on the line.
Yeah,
team.
I know.
But mine was 6'3".
The only people as big as the linemen are the defensive linemen on the other side.
Well, Russell also doesn't throw a slant.
Well, you know why. Mm-hmm.
What's your go-to story about your childhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Sorry. Everybody knows it. We don't throw slants.
Hello, Jason. Welcome to the men's room.
Boo, bitches.
Boo.
How's it going, guys?
Doing great, man. Thank you.
So I grew up in the time when the first video games were coming out, and television, Atari, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I was, you know, elementary school, and I got the console, but then obviously couldn't afford the expensive games that were coming out, the new releases.
Yeah, at the time, they were between $30 and $50.
If they were new, they were 50. I think they all dropped to like $30 after about nine months. But they started at 50.
But it's weed. I mean, the price of video games really hasn't changed even from the beginning, it seems like.
I don't know.
I mean, they might be more expensive now, but it still seems like $50 would be appropriate.
About,
I remember when Pac-Man came out on Atari. It was $50, and it sucked. It was the worst game ever.
Yeah, so the local toy store that carried them, I would go in, and this was before, you know, barcode scanners, and I would peel off the cheap stickers and put them on the expensive games and then go up to the register to pay for them.
Been there, done that. The old, good old days, as it were.
I used to do that with clothes at one place because they had, like, basically a push pin, not a push pin, but, you know, like a little tiny pin that held the tag on.
Yeah.
You just switched the tags.
And trust me, I think our generation is responsible for all the security measures they take now.
Right, like the size of the packaging on CDs that were, like, you know, 2 feet long.
Or the ink things that blow up on clothes. Because you're right, man, we switch price tags all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was...
Like, well, I can't afford that, but I can afford this. Let me just go ahead and switch that. And there was nothing to it.
I would also go to the used records, the used record bin, and if there was an album that I really wanted, but it was expensive, even if it was used, then I would put that in an album that was like 50 cents.
Boy, take the actual record out and slam it.
I just took the record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't need the covering, I didn't need the sleeve.
So if pull Metallica, slide that in Joan Baez,
right,
and save $12.
Yeah, exactly. That's basically what it was. I mean, I didn't have the, you know...
I never did
the artwork and everything. But
we switched the, you know, like TVs back in the day. It had like that. It was basically you could peel it off. Like on the bottom of the screen, it would say who made it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I forget what the brands were. I want to say maybe we switched like a, put like a Zenith on a
Magnavox
Samsung or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was much cheaper.
Yeah.
They didn't know.
You mean at the store?
Yeah.
You could also, were you with your parents?
No.
Okay.
I was with a bunch of people I live with.
Because I'm just picturing like your mom being like, all right, keep your eyes open. This is how you save money.
Right. Yeah, but me and my mom always wanted to steal a Christmas tree.
You always wanted to steal a Christmas tree?
Yeah, we never did.
That's probably a good idea.
Oh, they, that seems like the wrong thing to steal.
Do you remember the price guns? Yeah. We just leave the little orange tags.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We had a mom and pop type grocery store, and those things peeled right off.
Even
they had like, and then they started making them where they were like, not perforated, but like cut on four corners. So if you ripped it, you'd only rip off like the corner.
Uh-huh.
The rest would remain. But before that, those things were so easy to get off of. And you could just take like, you know, a 39-cent, you know, sticker from, I don't know, a can of beans.
And put it on anything.
Put it on, you know, Kraft macaroni and cheese and just put it right over the top.
At a mom and pop shop.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go ahead and steal that tree.
Yeah, exactly.
That's horrible. That's bad.
Well, it's a holiday.
Well, I'm just making sure this entire family goes out of business.
I'm just saving 46. What's your go-to story about your childhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Well, it doesn't matter. They're saving money for the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And it's gone. Hello, Tommy. Welcome to the men's room.
Boo, bitches!
Boo!
Okay, so I'll make it short and sweet. This is my first full life nudity. So, you know, we as kids, I was around 10, somewhere around there. So we've seen stuff, but we're watching our neighbor's house, and we were really close with them, and they're about, I don't know, a quarter mile away. We go over there, and they went out of town, and it was our responsibility to shut off the alarm.
All right.
Well, we screwed something up because we're kids, and the alarm won't go off. So we come running back to the house. I'm like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So knock on our parents' door. I'm like, mom, the alarm's going off. We're freaking out. What do we do? So she opens the door, and she's all groggy, and she says, what's going on? I said, no, the alarm's going off. We need to help the neighbors. She's wearing, like, one of those nightgowns, and without a hesitation, she just took it off, and the door's open.
But your mom did.
And me and my brother are just sitting there, or standing there, like, mom, you're completely naked. What we didn't know what to think about it. She's like, oh, and she slams the door. Everything got resolved, but it was burned into my head. Like, are you kidding me? The first time that I've seen like a full grown person, a woman naked, was because the alarm should have been the first alarm. Like, let's just wait this one out. But yeah, no, that was the that traumatized me for a little while.
Is that image still burned in your head?
Seeing relatives naked is never fun.
No, like I don't want to see you naked.
No, and I tell you what, the only time like we would go, I don't know, probably up until the age of 10, maybe it was 8 or 9, but I'm not kidding you. We would go out and we would run all evening, all day. So when we got back, before we went to dinner, before we went downstairs and were able to sit down at the kids' table, we all had to take a bath.
Right.
They would throw our asses into a bathtub.
Together.
Like, three of us into the bathtub.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and that was not even, there was no two thoughts about it. Like, you guys all got to get in there right now, get yourself clean, here's your towels.
Sure.
Get your ass downstairs.
You don't get them tight until you get older.
Right.
You know, little kids. I mean, like, my daughter and son, when they were real little, it's like, yeah, they're in the same goddamn bathtub together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. They don't care. They're still just goofing off. Now, they're very much like, hey, close the door. My daughter has a harder time remembering a lot of things, but also to close the door at the shower. I hear my son like, God, close the door. I don't want to see that. Like, it ruins his life.
Is your kids basically like Irish twins, right? Like, almost 2 years?
Yeah, they're about a year and a half apart, yeah.
Yeah, so right, same thing. I mean, when I was a kid, me and my sister, we were Irish twins. We always took the same baths. And then I think there's got to be pictures, like so you're talking about, like at the beach with my cousins.
That's what I'm saying.
Where there's like three or four kids in a bathroom.
Right, these are like cousins. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It wasn't even my brother or my sister. They're too young. It was, you know, like people that I saw, like, I don't know, twice a year.
But you're going to get naked with them.
Yeah, I mean, that's we're all going in the bathtub later on.
Did you have the obligatory picture of your naked ass?
I do remember.
There was something odd. Like, when I was growing up, every child, like, you proved that you had a childhood, because at some point, up until the ages of three, maybe, like, every parent everywhere had a picture of their kid's naked ass as they're climbing into or climbing out of the bath. I mean, it didn't matter. People would put it in frames. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, there's a graduation picture, there's a wedding picture, and it's like that. It's a picture of a child's butt.
My cousin Daryl's getting married. He's getting married. This is his first marriage, and he's 51 years old.
All right.
So he's dated people and lived with people and everything, but I guess it was just never right for him to get married, so now he's getting married. I got invited to the wedding. I was unable to attend it, but the image I have of Daryl is sitting in the bathtub with me, and he reaches behind his back, and he reaches down in the water, and he pulls out this turd.
Oh.
And he's got this turd in his hand, and then he throws it into the toilet. And I'm like, I'm out. I'm out of the bathtub. I am out. So, like, anytime, like, he responds, I'm like, oh, Daryl, the guy poops in the bathtub's getting married.
And that's your first thought, right?
Oh, that's the only, that is, like. That,
have you seen,
like,
him as an adult?
Just like, no. This question is burned into my brain as far as, like, these memories go. Like, with him, it'll always be him reaching back behind himself, grabbing a turd in his hand, and then throwing it into the toilet.
This guy could win the Nobel Prize.
Oh, no.
That's a poop thrower right there.
Oh, yeah. And if I ever see him again, like, that's the first story. You know what I mean? Like,
last time I saw you.
Hey. Yeah, exactly.
You can go to the wedding, so you probably won't.
Nice to meet the new bride, but I got to tell you this.
Does she know?
Yeah, because she's going to find out. What is your go-to story about your childhood? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Terrell. Welcome to the men's room.
Boom, bitches.
Boo.
All right, so I'll make this short and sweet. I was in seventh grade. It was the summertime going into the eighth grade. I was trying to show off for my friends. So I say from 11 a.m. to about 5, 6 p.m., I had about 5 or 6 different girls get on and off the bus. And as the last one was leaving, one of the older gentlemen in the neighborhood, he came over to me. He was like, if you don't be careful, you're going to have a whole bunch of daughters. I told him, no way. I'm having a whole starting 5 basketball team, all boys, no worries. Yeah, I'm 37. I have 3 girls. I gave up on boys a couple years ago.
Good.
Did you keep trying for a boy?
You don't need them.
After the second one, I was like, I probably shouldn't. And then the third one came, and it's like, all right, yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. So you're like disappointed when you hear it. She's like, hey, we're going to have another daughter. You're just like, God damn it.
No, I wasn't disappointed. You know, I'm like, you know, that's my kid. I'm going to love it. But, I just, after the first one, I was like, all right, you know what? That's okay. I got another shot. I'm going to shoot again. And then I shot again, and I kept missing.
I mean, shooter's got to shoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shooter's got
to
shoot.
Right? It's the only way to get through it.
That was horrible, man.
And there you go. Three.
Did you second shot, happy reaction to find out that your wife was pregnant again, or do you remember?
I do. Honestly, the way it went down, first time that she announced she's pregnant, it's just weird,
well,
man.
Well, first is different than second.
Well, because you feel the blood kind of drain from your face, and we knew, you know, like, kids were on the table, so we knew that, but there's still that weird moment where you're like, this S just got real, right? And because to me, it's like the skydiving thing. I'm excited about doing it until you're about to step out of the plane. So now it comes crashing home, the enormity of what it is you've just done for your life, all right? And it was one of those, we need to talk. We had this long discussion. There's weird silence, you know? And I was okay with it, but it's still, it's just, you realize your life is about to change about anything. When she told me the second time she's pregnant, we were going to bed. She goes, oh, hey, I took a pregnancy test. I'm pregnant. And we laughed. And just went to sleep.
See, mine was.
Yeah, I was like, whatever.
My kids were 16 months apart. So I had just gotten a kid to sleep through the night.
Right.
I mean, it just had happened for the first time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had been up for what seemed like years, even though it wasn't. And as soon as I found out, I mean, I lost it. I absolutely lost it. I mean, I was just like, damn it. I mean, I think I was throwing stuff. I think I walked. I went outside and just, I gotta take a walk. Jesus Christ. Like, how am I going to afford this? You know, like, I lost my, it wasn't like.
I still ask myself.
It wasn't
that.
Joyous. It wasn't happy. You know what I mean? Now it's, I love my kid more than anything in the world. But
well, sure.
I just, you know, like, I remember as soon as I found out she was coming into this world, I was so pissed off.
I think I was just more resigned to my fate. Like, Jesus Christ, here we go. Right?
Yeah.
But I was told the same thing. Like, look. You want them closer together, the idea being, like, just get through all the diapers and all that kind of crap. And in retrospect, it was worth it. But at the time, when they're both screaming their heads off about whatever, both of them have pooped all over the place, and you're home alone, you're like, what in the F have we done? Oh, no. You know what I mean? Like, I neither of you want to sleep. Both of you are in a bad dream. Both of you have to poop at the same time in your diapers. Like, God damn it, I hate this.
There's always something.
Yeah, I had a buddy. He got in trouble because he just went silent. Like, his wife told him. And he, you know,
his first kid.
Yeah. He wasn't mad or anything. He just went silent.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you know, like, you got it. I guess it was like a minute or two. But he's kind of like me. He's a chatter. And like, when chatty people all of a sudden don't say anything, it really throws people off.
It's a lot
but I will say
to
this.
Take in, man. And no, look, let people be silent because it is a lot to take in. And no matter how long we are silent and no matter how much we contemplate it, you're still woefully ill-prepared for the reality of actually having this kid.
She might not be happy about his response, but or lack thereof. But if he had responded, it could have been much worse.
Yeah, he was smart.
They have three kids now. It's fine. Yeah, but just say that he was just like, I didn't know what to say.
You don't know what
they
to
weren't
say.
Really planning on it. He was just like, holy cow. I mean, they were already married, but they had ideas of traveling.
Being married and having a kid are two very, 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 very different experiences.
I mean, you can't say anything. You'd be like, what? I mean, that's not good.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Just be quiet.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Don't just sit there.
How?
Right. Is it mine? You're kidding me. You're kidding me. Like all the things that you're thinking.
But you don't say it.
You should not say.
Yeah, I mean, in my head, it's like, oh my effing God. Oh,
are you,
no.
Are you sure? Like every one of those is.
I did ask, are you sure? And it's like, I peed on it three times. I'm like, damn it.
What's your go-to story
doctor.
About your childhood? Maybe we should get a second opinion. 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.